Kaiser ahead to Gershner, breaks free, has Eli to his right, lobs it for Eli, and the alley-oop! Are you serious? The stop! Gershner sets it up on a platter for Johnson, another jam, and Beloit's up by 26 in the first round of 3A State. The Beloit Trojans with a super dominating, convincing win in the first round of the 3A State tournament here in Hutchinson. Knock off to the PK Hayden Wildcats, 56-42, and at one point led by 30 in the fourth quarter. Beloit advances to their 14th state semifinal in school history, and will play on Friday.
And welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. The Beloit Trojans opening up the 3A state tournament, the one seed, with a convincing, dominant annihilation of Topeka Hayden, led by as many as 30 in the fourth quarter, going to win at 56-42 over Topeka Hayden. They punched their ticket to the semifinals for the 14th time in school history. They'll take on Wellsville for the fifth time in state history. Beloit and Wellsville will meet. They've split the first four meetings. That's a semifinal date on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock as Wellsville knocked off Ellsworth yesterday, closing the game on a 12-1 run, 48-38. And we'll recap that game coming up in a little bit. We'll hear from the head coach, Ryan Eilert, as well. The Ellsworth Bearcats had a four-point lead in that final quarter, but they were outscored 16-1 down the stretch. Thus, their season came to an end at 19-5, so not a third matchup between Beloit and Ellsworth this year. Beloit won the first two meetings. Also for the NCAA, Southeast Saline moved on to the state semifinals for the third straight year. The number 7 seed continuing their Cinderella run. They're 15-9. They knocked off the 2 seed Cheney that a lot of people picked to win this tournament. 54-51 was the final for Southeast. Cheney 9 of 34 from the floor in the second half. Just couldn't hit the three-point shot. You live by it, you die by it sometimes. Cheney did yesterday. So Southeast Saline will take on Goodland in the semifinals Friday night at 6 o'clock as Goodland rolled to a win over Riverton 68-46. And Goodland definitely is a team that, of the teams remaining, match up the best against Beloit in regards to size. And in 1A Division II, a Great Bend, the St. John's Tipton boys saw their season come to a close with a 54-32 first-round loss to Axtell. More on that in a moment. And the Axtell Eagles move on to the semifinals to face Lebo, who beat Northern Valley 59-56. In the early games, Dighton crushed Marmaton Valley 72-26, and Cunningham came back from 17 down to beat Buckland 70-66. For a full look at the state tournament brackets and more information, visit ncksports.com. So we'll go with the wrap of the Beloit game first. Yesterday, Beloit winning, and I was in disbelief calling the game. Somebody texted me and said, are you kind of short for words? And I said, yes, I am. I am, because I never dreamt it. You could have told me, you could have said, hey, I'll bet you so much money that Hayden is going to be behind by 30 to Beloit in the fourth quarter of a state tournament game, and I would have laughed you all the way to the bank, or so I would have thought, and would have cashed that wager. And guess what? The joke would have been on me, because Beloit, it got so bad for Hayden that people had to wonder, is there a running clock at state when you're up 30 or more? I mean, it was insane. Beloit played so well, and hopefully they can keep it going for two more games. Beloit jumped out to an early lead on the opening possession. Noah Gershner, a three-pointer, 3-0 Beloit. Hayden came back at a three to tie it at three, and then Beloit went on 6-0 run, got the ball inside to Eli Johnson. They led 9-3. Hayden would respond to 7-0 spurt of their own as Cooper Kolbach hit three threes in the first quarter, and you're thinking, uh-oh, Hayden's red hot from three. And after Beloit went down 10-9, they went on an 18-0 run, led 27-10. Then was down to 27-16 when Lance Lundeen hit a huge three. And that gave Beloit a 14-point lead going into the break. And then Beloit kept the foot to the floor in that third quarter, not giving Hayden any hope to come back. Beloit outscored Hayden 15-5 in the third, pushed the lead all the way up to 30 at one point there in the fourth, 51-21. Then Beloit put in some backups, and Hayden got some turnovers and like a quick 10-0 run there towards the end to make it a lot closer than the final score indicates. Beloit won by 14. It wasn't even close to that close. 56-42 was the final. Eli Johnson, I had a feeling that he could have a huge game as we were driving down to Hutch. I was thinking, you know, Eli had a dominant first quarter against, I think it was Silver Lake, and then he got two fouls, or he was on his way to having a huge game. and then didn't play as well against Nemaha Central. I was like, if Eli brings it like he did against Silver Lake, he could have a big night, and he did. Eli with 21 points, a career high. His previous career high was 16. He had three dunks in the game. Had a one-handed dunk attempt before halftime that he couldn't throw down. And you heard the sweet alley-oop from Gershner to Eli, kind of the exclamation point of the win for Beloit, as they're having a lot of fun. Eli Johnson with 21, also had a three-pointer, 10 of 12 from the floor. So a great game for Eli Johnson, came through big there in the first round of state. He also had 7 rebounds and 3 block shots. Bryce Speisner, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 5 block shots. Beloit as a team had 11 block shots. And Speisner also had a perfect day from the floor. 4 for 4 from the floor, 2 for 2 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line. He also chipped in with 5 assists. So Bryce was fantastic as well. Bryce got our block of the game for HR and Block, and Beloit never settled for less than the SNS Drug Home Health Athlete of the Game was indeed Eli Johnson, career high with 21. And then Noah Gershner to pass to Eli Johnson on the alley-oop for a dunk in the second half was our Cunningham telephone cable connection of the game. Gershner finished with 7 points. Did a nice job defensively on the point guard for Tabika Hayden. Picked his pocket, got a steal, and there was a tee right after that. And you kind of knew right then that Beloit was kind of in Hayden's head at that point in the game, and Beloit never looked back. Gershner finished with 7, hit a three-pointer. Quinn Eilert had 6 points in the ball game and also added 4 rebounds and 4 assist. And Jackson Cheney, despite just having the one free throw, he did a nice job on the glass as well for Beloit with 4 rebounds. He had 5 assists. So Beloit has kids that it just doesn't matter what night, it changes. One guy might lead the team in assists. The next night, this guy leads the team in rebounds. The next night, this guy leads in scoring. Next night, this guy hits 4 threes. It's just the way Beloit rolls. That's their how balanced that they are. Lance Lundin, a big 3-pointer, as I mentioned. He had 3 points. Brody Litton, 3 points and 6 rebounds off the bench. He was the Syncon of Kansas Utility Player of the Game, and he did that in just 10 minutes of action. And then Charlie Burke hit a 3 there late in the ball game as Beloit gets it done. How about the bigs for Beloit? Beisner hit 2 threes. He only had 6 all year. Eli Johnson had just 5 threes all year long. He had a 3, and Beloit wins easily over Hayden, 56-42. And as I said, it wasn't even that close. And Beloit's now 23-1. They've won 13 in a row. They're 2 wins away from their first ever state championship. Hayden ends their season 8-16. They're led by Cooper Kolbach with 15 and 5 threes. Dom Ridley had 13. Beloit out-rebounded Topeka Hayden in this game by 16. Beloit shot 57% from the floor. They were plus 26 in the paint. And Hayden for the game shot 28%, and that's even misleading. At the end of 3 quarters, Hayden had 21 points. They made just 6 shots from the floor. Hayden was 6 of 36 for 17%. After 3 quarters of action in a first-round 3A state game. It was complete domination. I definitely didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody saw this coming. A lot of people were worried about the game. I thought it was a 50-50 game. No reason to worry. Of course, you're going to worry about any team you play here on out because they're all very, very good. Beloit moves on to the state semifinals. They will take on Wellsville. Wellsville with a come-from-behind victory over Ellsworth. Wellsville, a team that they can shoot the 3, although they didn't shoot it very well yesterday. They will play 4 guards out. They want to run the floor, get up and down very, very quickly. They don't have a lot of size, so Beloit could have the size advantage. Beloit, what will they do defensively? I could see them playing man-to-man. I could see them playing zone, but if they play zone, Wellsville is going to get some outside shots. And here's the thing. I mentioned this yesterday on the Sports Ticket with Dusty. And that was that for Hayden to beat Beloit, I felt like Hayden would have to make a lot of threes, but I knew they were capable. And Beloit doesn't rely on the 3 as much, even though they have outstanding 3-point shooters. And so I mentioned yesterday to Dusty that in my history of covering state basketball, the first day is the worst day. The first game for any team at the state tournament is the worst day usually for shooting the 3-pointer. And it came to fruition yesterday because Cheney couldn't hit anything from the outside. Hayden couldn't hit anything from the outside. Wellsville really struggled shooting the 3 yesterday. The thing is, Hayden and Cheney won't get a second chance. Wellsville now can adjust, as can Beloit and their outside shooters. The teams that are remaining, Goodland as well, as Southeast Saline. Those, what I've seen over the history of the state basketball tournament is when you go to these colleges for state tournament games, the depth perception is different because there is no wall and banners hanging behind the goal. There's fans, there's a student section, there's you can see through the backboard, there's something behind there. And when you shoot for threes or even the free throws, the depth perception is a little bit different. And it seems like the first day of the tournament, teams struggle shooting the ball, particularly from the outside. But then the second and third day, they shoot better. And so thus, when somebody told me, well, Wellsville, I don't think we'll have any problem with Wellsville. Wellsville didn't shoot the ball very well. Let me tell you something. Wellsville could easily come out on Friday and hit 10 three-pointers. I mean, they could. They're good shooters. And that would be their second game at Hutch. They would get acclimated. You know, Beloit didn't shoot it great from three, didn't shoot a ton of threes yesterday. Their bigs shot it well. But I think Gerstner and Cheney are probably going to shoot it better on Friday and Saturday, getting used to it as well. So something to keep in mind that I brought up yesterday that really did come to fruition yesterday. And here's the thing. Teams that rely primarily on the three-pointer, you're going to live by it and you're going to die by it. And something about Beloit, they don't live and die by the three. It's a nice weapon to have, but they can play inside, they can play outside, they can play inside out, they can play outside in. And Beloit's defense yesterday was phenomenal as well, and that should not be overlooked at all. And so Beloit got it done convincingly, and you know, Cheney and Topeka Hayden were pretty one-dimensional, and that was they couldn't get in the lane. And very often, they had to shoot threes. They lived by the three. And yesterday, both those teams died by the three. So that's something that bodes well for Beloit going forward. Now, Wellsville could be red hot Friday and then be ice cold Saturday. So who knows what's going to happen. But you can live by it, and you can die by it. And a couple teams yesterday at State died by it. And we'll see what happens moving forward. But Beloit and Goodland, I would say, are the two most balanced teams. You know, Southeast is pretty balanced offensively. They don't shoot tons of threes either. They're just not as offensively, they don't score as many points as Goodland or Beloit does. And they don't have maybe as much size. But boy, they're playing some really good basketball last night after upsetting Cheney 54-51. So we'll have Beloit and Wellsville. And these teams have met before in 1988. 1993, 1994. In 88, Wellsville beat Beloit in the semifinals of State. 93, Beloit beat Wellsville in the semifinals of State. 94, Wellsville beat Beloit in the state championship game. And then 2014, Beloit was down double digits, I think as many as 15 or 16, first half in the first round of State, and 14 came back to beat Wellsville in that game by six. So they've split the first four meetings. Beloit's played 42 state games. This will be their 43rd, and this is the opponent they faced the most at State, Wellsville, oddly enough. It'll be the fifth meeting, and you could call it a rubber match, coming up on Friday. Pregame at 1:40, tip time at 2 o'clock from the Sports Arena in Hutchinson. And I'll have the call for you on Kitty Country 94, kittycountry94.com. Get the free Kitty Country 94 app. Want to go back and listen to the game? You can. It's available on demand at the Beloit Trojan channel. Audio only. We're not allowed to stream at State. So Beloit moves on. Unfortunately, the St. John's Tipton boys, they had a tough matchup in the first round of State. Here's Dusty with a recap of the Blue Jay boys who hung in there with the Axtell Eagles.
Sizer, I had the Gersh.
Let me try this again. Would help if I click the right button. There we go.
The 7 seed of St. John's Tipton Blue Jays battled with number 2 seed Axtell for a half, going into the locker room down just 24-20. The Eagles came out firing in the second half, though, extending their lead out to 13 early in the third, going on to win by 22, 54-32. Axtell scored the first 7 points, but the Blue Jays battled back to tie it at 17 in the second quarter. Trailing 22-20 late in the first half, St. John's Tipton had a turnover under Axtell's basket. The Eagles got a bucket from Wyatt Detweiler to go up 4 at half. Colin Shaughnessy opened the second half with a 3, and the Eagles scored 6 more points to finish off a 12-0 run from the end of the first half to the beginning of the second. St. John's Tipton was held to just 8 points in the second half. They were led by Edward Hrenick with 11 in the game. Coben Schroeder got the block of the game from H&R Block of Beloit for the Blue Jays, while an assist from Gabriel Roderick to Edward Hrenick in the second quarter was a connection of the game from Cunningham Teleport and Cable. Roderick was also named the utility player of the game from Syncon of Kansas. The athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health went to Eli Brockton of Axtell. He scored a game-high 18 points with 7 big ones in the third quarter, 3 three-pointers in the game. Brandon Smelsley had 2 dunks in the fourth quarter and finished with 15. Shaughnessy had a double-double with 11 points and 10 boards. The Eagles moved to 22-2. They're headed to the state semis, while St. John's Tipton finished their year at 14-8 with the loss. Once again, it was Axtell over St. John's Tipton 54-32 on Wednesday night in Great Bend.
So St. John's Tipton boys season comes to an end, but like you heard Dusty say, it was a pretty good battle there for definitely for the first half right there at halftime, but then St. John's Tipton struggling to score in the second half, and Axtell pulls away. So let's take a look at the state tournament brackets for you, shall we, here real quick. In Class 1A Division 2 boys bracket, it will be Dighton against Cunningham at 2 o'clock tomorrow in the semis, Axtell and Lebo at 6 o'clock in the semifinals. That's at Barton Community College in Great Bend. Girls bracket, it is St. John's Tipton tonight at 8 o'clock pregame at 7:40 on KD Country 94 against Sharon Springs. Lebo and Martinson Valley will play at 6 o'clock tonight. St. John's Tipton will play the winner of that one on Friday if the Blue Jays win tonight. Hanover take on Buckland at 4 o'clock today, and South Haven Northern Valley is the game at 2 o'clock. Haven, the one seed. In Class 2A, Class 1A Division 1, South Gray boys will take on Opie in the semifinals tomorrow, and Bishop Seabury Academy will take on Quinter. In the girls bracket 1A Division 1, is Little River against Opie today, Norwich against Centralia, South Gray against Rollins County, St. John Hudson against Frankfort. In Class 2A, the girls bracket, Valley Heights, no surprise to me, 8 seed from the TVL, 18-5 against undefeated Wichita County team, and Heights, Valley Heights won by 17. And don't say it was an upset. If you say that, you don't know the leagues very well. Valley Heights will move on to take on Riverside, who beat Hoxie, was 22-1. Hoxie is done after one round. And Pittsburgh Colgan will take on Wichita Independent in the other semifinal coming up on Friday. That's in Dodge City. Class 3A, or I told you, the boys bracket, Beloit Wellsville at 2 o'clock on Friday. Southeast Lane Goodland at 6 o'clock on Friday. Pregame coverage at 1:40 on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. 3A girls at Silver Lake, the one seed undefeated. They're the favorite against Haven. Heritage Christian will take on Topeka Hayden. Battle of private schools at 4 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, it's Goodland Girard tonight at the Sports Arena Hutchison, and the nightcap at 8 o'clock is Cheney versus Heston. As I mentioned, we had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Beloit Trojan Boys after the game yesterday. Here was our interview and our post-game show after Beloit demolished Topeka Hayden 56-42, led by as many as 30 in the fourth quarter. Coming up, we'll preview the St. John's Tipton girls game tonight on the radio against Sharon Springs.
Holy shnikes, as Chris Farley once said. The Beloit Trojan boys get it done here tonight. Wow. 56-42 the final. Beloit led by as many as 30 in the fourth quarter. Here to talk about the victorious head coach, Ryan Eilert. I said if you had on your bingo card that you were going to be up 14 at halftime and be up 30 in the fourth quarter, I would say you have a bingo card that I didn't think existed.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance by your kids.
Yeah, and, it's just... It's what they've done so far is they've been focused. I watched film on these guys on Sunday and started to be a little bit concerned. And then just like always, you get with your guys, you see their focus. And all of a sudden, just kind of as the week went along, there was a little bit more calmness came over me because I knew how focused they were, how mentally sharp they were on what they wanted to do. And, boy, they came out and executed it.
There's so many things that we can point to. I had this feeling when we were driving down today to the sports arena that there'd be so much attention on Bryce. Obviously, we've seen some teams try to face guard Noah because he's the best perimeter shooter you have, but you have others that can hit the three. Obviously, Jackson can too, and Lance had a big three tonight, by the way, but and Eli had one, and Bryce hit a couple, but I had this weird feeling that Eli was going to have maybe a career night, and he had 21 tonight, a couple of dunks, he hit a three-pointer, sweet alley-oop from Noah that was kind of the icing on the cake there late in the game, but talk about your bigs able to go outside. Bryce hit two threes. Eli hit a three. And that's not something I'm guessing they were really counting on when they had the scouting report on you guys.
No, you know, they want to sag off, and they've been doing that some on Eli. But, you know, he's a kid that's worked at it, and his three-point shot has become really good. And so, and that's the modern era is everybody being able to shoot it. And so, but he comes out and just, you know, starts the game, handles them inside. Like you said, Bryce is able to hit three. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just becomes almost, I don't want to say dunk fest, but, they were, I think, combined 14, Bryce and Eli, 14 of 16 from the field.
Yeah.
And one of those was a missed dunk.
That's right.
And so just so impressive and just a great game.
No doubt. And let's talk about your defense because obviously Bryce can be the fly swatter inside. Every play plays great defense. But you told me this week you had to keep their guards out of the lane. And Noah drew the assignment of taking on Ridley and takes a charge early and then gets a steal against Ridley, gets a layup, and then Ridley gets frustrated, gets a technical. The game plan came along very well defensively for your team from the perimeter and then in.
Yeah, and the only fault of the game plan is I told Quinn, number two, he needed to help off on the other guards. And that kid comes out and hits three threes in the first quarter and basically was their offense early. But our guys did a tremendous job. Even a couple of sets where we get hung up on screens, our other guys showed the way they were supposed to and then rotated back. And honestly, to me, defensively was probably the key to this whole thing. Was we gave them nothing. nothing easy. Bryce, I don't know how many blocks he had, but anytime they went inside, they should have thought twice about it because he's able to swat it. And they were some mean swats, too. They weren't just the little block shot. It was into the student section block shot.
You had 11 block shots. Now, Hayden only had six turnovers, but Hayden in the game, going into the fourth quarter, Hayden was 6 of 36 for 17%.
Yeah, and just making them earn everything. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that to me is what really stood out and kind of gets hidden a little bit with all the points that they found late. But, you know, we just limited on everything that they wanted to do.
And one point I remember, too, is that you're up 27-10. They were up 10-9. You scored 18 unanswered. You're up 27-10. They go on a 6-0 run, and Lance pulls the trigger from deep and buries a three. If he misses that three, all of a sudden they might get single digits. Lance has the guts to step up and drill that three, which was big because they were starting to get a little bit of momentum in that little run.
Yeah, you can call it guts.
Your heart stop?
yeah. But obviously, he's so happy to see guys have success in those moments, and he was able to do it.
11 block shots tonight. You out-rebounded by 16 this evening. You shoot 56% from the floor. They hit 9 threes, but a lot of those were late. They had the 3 in the first quarter, as you mentioned. Points in the paint, you were plus 26. And despite having 16 turnovers, which really there weren't a lot of those easy buckets they got off of those turnovers, Hayden, you still win the game comfortably. What do you take now moving forward in the semifinals on Friday?
It's celebrate it, but regroup. You know, no matter who we play tomorrow, whether it's Ellsworth or on Friday or Wellsville, you got a good team. And obviously we know one, but the other one, you know, we'll find out something about, and we'll sit down tomorrow and get a game plan and be ready to come back on Friday.
You know, your teams over the years, this is your sixth time to state as a head coach. You've seen a lot of great performances, some unbelievable comebacks, but where does this one rank in regards to how dominant you were against a team that a lot of people, including myself, thought was going to give you everything you could handle?
I mean, it's up there. And honestly, you know, these guys have done it all year. About the time you start to get a little bit worried, they find a way to come out and do it a lot of different ways. And that's, you know, to me, a key to it is it's not just one person. It's a team-type effort.
Congratulations.
Hey, thank
you.
Hey, congrats on your award, too. Other than the 30-minute presentation when we were ready to play.
Let me tell you something. I stood out there and I said, I was not in charge of that, and I said, this is taking forever. I was ready to walk up as well, so
yeah.
I'm with you.
Well, I was yelling, wrap it up, Wade, so.
And for once, it wasn't me talking.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
So that was our interview with Ryan Eiler there in our post-game show yesterday as the Blade Boys win over Hayden 56-42. St. John's Tipton girls in action tonight. As we mentioned, here's Dusty with a preview.
The St. John's Tipton Lady Jays, the number 6 seed at the 1A Division 2 state tournament with a record of 16-5, facing number 3 seed Sharon Springs, who comes in at 20-3. Lady Jays making their 8th state tournament appearance. They've been led this season by guards Carly Brummer at 16 points a game and Jenna Gingler at 15.5. Linnell Gingler putting up 9 points and 6.5 rebounds, and she'll have to deal with 6'2 center Aubrey Richardson, who's averaging just under 10 points for the Wildcats. Sharon Springs has 2 double-digit scorers, led by guard Jersey Benish, the sophomore, at just under 12 points a game, and Jalen Daly is putting up 10 points a game. St. John's Tipton and Sharon Springs set for a battle. Tip-off at 8 o'clock tonight from Barton Community College in Great Bend. I'll have the call on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com with pregame at 7:40.
And we look forward to that coverage from Dusty from Great Bend coming up here later tonight on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com. The Sacred Heart boys are in action today. The 4 seed in 2A at 20-3. They'll face the 5 seed Erie, who's 18-5. That's at 4 o'clock in Dodge City. Again, all the matchups brackets available at ncksports.com. Northern Plains League has released their all-league basketball teams. We'll start with the girls. First teamers, Carly Brummer, senior from St. John's Tipton. Jenna Gingler, senior from St. John's Tipton. Gracie Reiner, senior from Osborne. Cameron Ritzky, a senior of Thunder Ridge. And Maggie Labrador, a junior of Sylvan Lucas. Second team, Lauren Brummett, senior from Lakeside. Ava Dix, a junior from Stockton. Brianna Reeves, a junior from Pike Valley. Bethany Similink, a sophomore from Rock Hills. And Grace William, a junior from Osborne. For the third team, honorable mention, you can go to ncksports.com, read out all about that. First team boys, Andy Cooper, a junior from Pike Valley. Dalton Garman, a junior from Osborne. Johnny Hamill, a senior from Osborne. Edward Karinick, sophomore for St. John's Tipton. Cooper McDill, junior from Rock Hills. Second team, all league and boys, NPL, Kyle Chase, a junior from Southern Cloud. Jace Cunningham, junior from Lakeside. Reese Remus, a junior from Lakeside. Cooper Rathbun, a junior of Lincoln. And Nathan Goheen, a senior of Osborne. To see the third team and honorable mention selections for the boys, once again, go to ncksports.com. We'll preview state basketball tomorrow, the bullet game against Wellsville, and hopefully previewing St. John's Tipton girls semifinal tomorrow as well on the sports ticket.